And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 234.
234.
We are welcoming you to the Black and a Half train, where we will talk about meal trains. Mm-hmm. And then we will hop on Soul Train.
You know, I think it was a very Soul Train sort of episode. It was our Hallmark episode, you know. It was filled with soul, like love, not so much singing and dancing, but...
love and community.
Love and community.
Are you were you alive for Soul Train?
I will say yes, but I don't remember. I don't remember the years. I could look it up.
I remember coming on, and I was just like American Bandstand. I was very bored if I saw it was on. I had no interest in watching people dance or music. I don't know. I did not care for music that much when I was a kid. Huh. I just didn't. I'm like, oh my God. That and just people like just watching a concert was like watching football to me. I was just like, no, something else, like cartoon or let's just go outside.
I didn't think it was this. So you were anti-stadium. Maybe they should have shown more of the treats in there.
They should have. Then I might have got into it. Yeah, no, I'm not. Those kind of shows I just couldn't deal with. Anyway. But what you can deal with is this episode. Mm-hmm. This episode, which is brought to you by the word recovery. This episode, recovery.
Okay, yes, recovery.
Like our economics, we're in a recovery. So. Mm. Recovery. And we used to always, every episode used to be brought by an emotion or feeling, and I think we should bring that back, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's something we should recover from the past.
I think that's such an, I'm always like, it's such an interesting thing. I need a monocle or something. Oh, I do. I need one. Be like, awesome. I was gonna
there's
say,
not enough monocles in use anymore.
No,
to be honest,
right. Recovery, like, what is recovery? I'm not like, we do answer some of this and discuss it in here, right? But it's like, what does recovery mean? How is it different for different situations? And then how do you take care of yourself with the recovery? And also, how are you aware of your own recovery? And sometimes we don't even know that we're still recovering from something. We haven't even identified. Yes. When you talk about later, like one of these, I'm calling it a core memory, but one of these very important things that impacted your life and now how you would react differently to it. It's like, weren't you, in a way you were kind of almost in recovery, because I noticed you also changed some of your thinking about things. Ah, we didn't get to that part. Okay. But you changed some of your thinking too. I've heard over the years, and I have as well. So it also makes wonderful, delicious sense that your reaction to if that event would happen, talking about food and money right now, that your reaction would be so different. And then we talked about the brain a little bit too. And so like thinking about neurons that fire together, wire together, and how memory, it's not like a filing system. It does connect to those other associations. So it's really fascinating. And as always, listeners, I'd love to hear your thoughts and have your comments.
You know, the more I talk about emotions, I'm convinced that that Pixar movie Inside Out is just a documentary.
Yeah.
Like that's how it works.
Yeah.
Like you really.
I think there's a lot of science in it, isn't there?
I've heard that. I heard there was a lot of science in it. And as I talked to my wife about the stuff, she's just like, this is the only way to describe what's going on in my head right now. Like Inside Out. Remember, this is what happens. It's like there's one guy controlling it.
That's great. I also wonder, I'm wondering if the person controlling it too more of the time is the emotional home that people are comfortable with, since that does skew like our perception of the world too.
Oh, so like if you are anxious, that's the main driver no matter what.
I wonder. And if that's the one that typically gets there, and then, you know, you have to learn to let the other ones take the turn. But when on autopilot, that's the one that hops up. I wonder about that.
That's a good thought. So I think this episode will raise lots of interesting thoughts for you and questions, and I sincerely hope you enjoy it. So, I'm Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And we didn't say that in the beginning, but welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. So sit back, relax, open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to Black and a Half, episode number 234, Meal Train. Samantha, it has been a week for me. A lot of people know my wife had had surgery, and so now we're recovering, and we had meal trains. Do you know, here's what's funny about meal trains to me. Like, you get them because to help out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so you have one less thing to think about. So if some people didn't know what a meal train is, so to clarify what it is, like, so usually I see when someone like has a baby, mm-hmm. somebody puts together a meal train, and then people sign up for different nights of the week to come bring some food to you so you don't have to worry about it. And you know, like, we felt even bad doing it because my wife has allergies, right? So like, okay, I'm sorry, you have to allergic to all these things, so limiting, you're not used to cooking without these things, and if you want to bring it, or feel free to give a gift card, you know,
it is voluntary.
Yeah, but you know, and we kind of made an assumption people aren't going to read the full directions, so you know, like, the first meal we get has cheese on it, and it's like, oh well, but we planned it, so we're like, okay, that'll be a gift card night that we'll also just order for Gretchen her own separate meal or an alternate plan. And also post-surgery, you don't always want to eat anyway.
Right. So it was still helpful. It just didn't have the entire desired impact the person would have hoped if they had.
Well, and then it kind of helps with the kids, because then I don't have to worry about cooking them food. Mm-hmm. Right. But we do have a 7-year-old that is a bit finicky about food. And he's getting introduced to all these other people's foods, mm-hmm. you know, like different casserole. We don't really do casserole-y type things, but like, or where it's all mixed. Last night we had tortilla soup someone brought.
Oh, yum.
Right. But he was like I don't think he's ever had soup before.
I mean, I think that some of these foods that sound very, very delicious to me, I would be surprised to see like a toddler or like under a certain age enjoying. Like, it's,
yeah. Well, Willow was fine with it. She's 9, but right. Finn's looking at it like, are you serious? We're going to eat this. What is it? Like he didn't know what it is. It's like, is this chicken or is this cereal? What is this?
Yeah.
So he's just like, first he's just eating sour cream out of it. I feel almost bad for him because he keeps getting meals that people deliver that are not like the way he likes to consume them. And he, right. You know, I do work on him. We're working on him. Eventually, I know he will be like, Willow eats almost everything now because I'm really good with making, getting kids to eat stuff. But it's just he's getting a lot of sudden introductions.
Yeah. And sometimes you know, people like to eat what they eat, even if they're young, you know, and it'll probably broaden over time, but it also might not, as long as he's getting all of his nutrients. Like I can't remember. I was very picky when I was younger. I'm less picky now.
No way.
I know, right? You're super surprised.
Shocked.
But I used to, yeah. And I would want to get like the same thing going to a restaurant, because it's like you're going to spend money on it. You want to make sure you're going to like it. Like, I didn't want to be risk involved. Give me my chicken Caesar salad wrap. Like
as a kid?
Oh, well, no. I mean, that was actually
chicken Caesar salad wrap?
No.
That's impressive.
No, I mean, a kid compared to now, but no, I mean, I wasn't. No, I mean, I think probably that was like more like high school, you know? like right around high school age. So I'm just saying it might be a while before.
I admit I do feel that way now sometimes when I order. I'm like a little afraid of trying something completely new because I'm like, what if I don't like it? Man. But then I found some dishes. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
Then I order that a few times when we go next. I'm like at there's a Mexican restaurant nearby that you can buy like a whole tilapia, right? Like a fried fish. And every time I'm like, is today the day I get that? Do I try that? And then I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No chicken mole.
Definitely try it on the day that you have all your spoons.
Yeah.
Right. For those of you who have probably heard us talk about spoon theory several times, but not to, you know, I don't know, jump around on the meal train thing, but I was so happy to see that you got a meal train and I really, really, really wanted to participate. But I also knew that I was like, I don't think I can like make you guys a nutritious meal with the prerequisites right now. Like I was just like, I don't know that I will come up with something. I can still try. There's still time. There's still time to come up with something.
You know what? I think if you had told me initially that I would have thought the same thing, but now that I'm like there, I'm like, oh, I just cooking without dairy is just kind of
well, I can do that. It's real basic. But I thought there were a few other things. You know what?
Yeah, maybe like I'll just have to run pineapple, something. Sage. I mean, your they're particular. Favorite. Like,
yeah.
Like we just have like, you know, Sloppy Joe's burgers, like just, you know. A chicken.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking, yeah, you know, there was the chicken discussion.
I'm a real, especially like since I've been in my fitness era where I'm like eating high protein and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of times our food just ends up being like, here's a piece of protein with like potatoes or vegetables, roasted vegetables. That's it. That's it. And they're like, the kids are used to that.
Okay. So meal trains and then yes, the protein vegetable thing. I was just going to say like for anybody who's listening, if you have the chance to participate in a meal train, please do, because I think it makes such a difference to the people who are on the receiving end. I know it's not the same circumstances, but I did not know what a meal train was before. It does not come on a train, but,
was that what you learned it about
wasn't. It was actually when I was having my extremely difficult year. Okay, that was also postpartum was difficult too, but it was actually last year. And that some of the women at my church community were kind enough to do meal train, and I have to tell you, like, I will start weeping. I don't feel like I could ever repay back that kindness, because it wasn't just the meal, it was like I'm loved. People care about me. They care that I'm having a hard time. They want to make it easier. And just like, it wasn't just eating the food. It was like the love that was in the food. Even if it was something that like somebody bought from Costco, it was like they took time out of their busy life to say, hey, let me make yours a little brighter today. And it just meant so much. I also had like such a delicious, when you were saying the soup. Whatever it's
called. Tortilla soup.
Tortilla soup. Thank you. Tortilla soup. That was so great. And this turkey chili, like homemade turkey chili. Like those were two. It's making me emotional because it's reminding me of like all of the wonderful dishes and kindness from people. And so that's why I was like, yes, Silas, I'm so glad that you guys are getting a meal train.
Well, at first I wasn't even going to do one. Cause I was like, I can cook myself. I don't need,
well, you're not, I feel like you've been through hard stuff before, but like if you know something is going to be hard, make it easier. And I don't know that you're ever fully prepared for.
Yeah. Also I started thinking about when you have a community and you're building a community and such, it is important to allow people in your community to help you. Like, cause people want to help. Mm-hmm. And I kept finding, they're like, well, let me know if you need anything. And I'm like, I don't know. Like what are you going to do? My lawn? Come do my taxes? Or how are you going to help me? I can't in good conscience ask someone to mow a lawn. Anyway,
I was just thinking, I'm like, can I do that? If you watch my kid while I mow your lawn, I mow your lawn.
So it seemed like a good way to get to, for like, if you want to help, here's the meal train, right?
Yeah.
And I can't believe how many, like, a lot of people bought gift cards to DoorDash for us, which is great, because actually I could buy supplies.
Yeah.
Like, that my wife needed, you know, like Gatorade or something, like, and not just, or like, we ran out of this, and I could just order it and get it from like Safeway. So, and then meals as well, right? And I feel guilty buying on DoorDash because they upped the prices on it from what you would order if you ordered directly. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm spending more money than I should be for the same thing. But I'm like, well, I can't use this otherwise.
Well, so
it's not my money.
I do understand that, because I have that same sort of feeling. And I think it's important to like give ourselves grace for when things are hard, just letting it be a little bit easier. And that extra fee is helping it be a little bit easier. Like, you don't do it all the time. So
when you need it. Because once I figured out how much like extra they were like Grubhub and stuff charges, I started just driving to the places to pick up like old school. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then so I hadn't been using those services in a bit. And now I'm like, OK, I guess I'll use it now.
Yeah.
And it does. You know, it gives me an hour back or something. And,
right. Well, what you said about community, and you know, you didn't want to ask for help and you had to let people help you, I feel like there's so much in that, because obviously, like, the way our society is, and we've talked about this several times too, we're hardwired to think we have to do everything ourselves, and if we can't, feel shame, right? Unless if maybe we are the 1% in which we believe everybody needs to help us.
True.
And we just feel pride. I don't know. But that,
as a job creator, I think.
But you know, I'm just saying, like, we've talked about the importance of community and building community. And like you were saying, it's important to let people help you. We help each other in community. And also, I think I heard a podcast, you might have referred me to this episode, or I might have just seen it when you were talking about Simon Sinek. Yeah. Right. We feel closer to people when we help them.
Yes.
That thing, you know, so it is also a gift to the other person that you're allowing them to help you. Like, it's a gift for all of you. And it's also a gift for America. But no, it is a gift for America because it is also like helping to build the America that I believe we both want to see, where it is neighbor cares for neighbor, friend helps.
Yeah.
Friend. It's not just me on my own doing everything by myself, and if you can't do it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, it's being the change you wish to see. Unfortunately, sometimes I force, because you didn't wish to be in this situation, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a pride, you know, because there's also a pride element that I had, because like when I got divorced and I was a single dad for couple of years, you know, things were not necessarily easy for me financially, but I was like, I probably could have qualified for food stamps, but I wouldn't apply because I was so headstrong, stubborn. I was like, nope, I'll eat spaghetti the week that Sierra's not with me, so that, because I'd have a week off. So I had to, like, I could figure out alternatives than, you know, eating right or eating completely. Because I was so, because my mom had, you know, my mom, we had food stamps when I was a kid, and my mom's I think there was a time where she told me, you know, I don't know, there was a level of embarrassment, right? She was shopping a thing, but then she told me about when she didn't need them, she turned them back in. And that was like this prideful moment for her. And so then I was like, well, I don't want to do the opposite. So, and I look back and I'm like, well, I was stupid. I should have done it because it would have helped me. But I mean, out of pride, I wasn't.
It's harsh to say that it was stupid. I understand what you're saying. I just think that it's harsh to judge yourself in that way because it sounds like it was a poor memory. It was a very important memory of seeing your mom have this sense of pride. Additionally, with society saying like, hey, you don't need help. And if you take help, you're a loser. Like that's not true. And you don't identify with that identity. So it's different. It's different than just being like, I'm always going to need this, or I'm going to allow it to help me while I need the help because my tax dollars have paid for it. And it's my right as a citizen. Do you know what I mean? But there is so much.
Like I totally get now why EBT cards exist, because man, does that, I think, lower some of the stigma and not having to pull out the, I remember when my dad was on him, like, and we had the book, we got the food stamp book, and you had to tear them out, and you had to tear it out in front of the cashier so that they knew it wasn't like stolen or traded or whatever. Right. So like, there was the fraud prevention at the time was really, I wonder how much that was really fraud prevention and wasn't just stigma, like trying to make sure people, it was the least, I think, humiliating possible.
Right. Well, and that quite possibly could be part of it, but I also think like that was a time when people were using checks more and credit cards weren't as people in cash and checks more often and credit cards weren't as common. So I'm not sure why they do the cards now, if it's just because most things are on cards and or also hopefully for like the dignity aspect.
I think it's way more subtle.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have to if you go do self-checkout, you don't even have to say anything like EBT. Like you don't have to whisper it.
Right.
And I don't think anyone should be ashamed of it. Like that's why I think now I'm more likely to be like, yo, boom, got it. Money. Right. Like I think I would take it now with no issue. But I think because I was getting divorced and finances were a sensitive part of that, there was this element of like me going, I'm not poor. You're poor. I wasn't my fault. Like then it was like, oh, she left me and now I'm on food stamps. And she said I was, you know, made me feel like a loser because that I wasn't doing finances right, but I was insisting that I did. And I mean, granted, it was during the recession. Like businesses were falling apart. I'm like, God, I'm not the only one that this is rough on right now. Right. So I think it had an extra stigma to it for me that she blamed me for some financial things that was like, this is not in my control right now. And of not having a regular job, right? So that it's hard as a small self-employed person during a global recession. So I think that was an extra sticking point. Like I didn't want my ex to be right. Mm-hmm. And it would have felt like she was right. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of like deep psychological scars were working at me at the time that I'm over now. Mm-hmm. And if I lost my work and had to, I have no problem signing up to get food.
Right.
Everyone should. Like, I mean, I'm also on the train of everyone should just get food. Like,
right.
It shouldn't be like a stupid. It's there shouldn't be a whole.
Right.
I don't even know how I feel about the soda thing.
Soda?
Yeah, like RFK, they're now going to, they've put forth that people cannot use food stamps to buy soda.
That's.
So people will complain about like, they shouldn't be wasting their money on junk food and it doesn't have any nutrition in it. They should be buying stuff that's nutritious and real food. But part of me is like, yeah, but well, one, I do get the point of maybe we shouldn't. That the stuff should be used to get stuff that people really need. However, it's not like one healthy food, like good food, is actually way more expensive. So you're not suggesting we up how much people are getting. I say I would feel differently about it if you're like, well, we're going to double the amount of food stamps we're giving.
We're going to double it,
but like you can, so that you can buy more fresh fruits and veggies and the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But like, then also I'm like, you know, sometimes life is hard. It's okay to have a Coke.
That's actually just what I was thinking. It's like the part of me that's like, yeah, just split with like you are in terms of, yeah, it's not healthy, so it'd be better for people not to consume it. But then it's also like, man, like me, like I sometimes on a hot day or whatever, or even if it's not a hot day, it's like nothing sounds better than an ice cold Coke. And like taking that away from somebody, especially
when they're like,
fuck, it's like
ice cream. Come on. Ice cream will be another one that they get rid of. And
no.
I'm like, whoa, yeah, because you don't, if you're poor, you don't deserve dessert.
That's right? Terrible.
I know. I
mean, and then what? Like, yeah, because there's so many things that are supposedly healthy that have all this horrible crap in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. Is everything else going to be healthy? That's just makes me frustrated. Yeah.
It just seems like there is this thing about people get upset that poor people might be happy. With something. Did you use 0.0001 cent of mine for happiness?
It's just, oh man.
People pay so little in government taxes for poor people to eat. And the fact that you are cared about denying them of a moment of pleasure.
That's horrible. Ice cream? I mean.
Yeah.
No, say it isn't so. There's probably going to be a protest about this. Can't take away
people. Well, the thing is, it
instead of like let them eat ice cream cake, this is just right.
Apparently, it is states can decide if they want to do it or not, and they'll ask permission to exclude it.
Oh.
And so I think what you're going to end up is a lot of red states are probably going to exclude it, and all the blue states are probably going to allow it because we're less like, you know, punks about it.
Man.
Yeah.
I want ice cream cake now, though.
Ice cream cake. I think it's not that it's underrated, but I think it's underutilized. Like, I rarely go anywhere and see an ice cream cake.
I was just thinking, I've never been at a party where they're handing out hors d'oeuvres and the hors d'oeuvre was a caviar looking ice cream cake. Like, I've never seen an ice cream cake elevated to that level.
But I'm saying birthday parties.
I'm joking. But yeah, I agree. I definitely experienced ice cream cakes. Oh, well, I guess I was a kid then. Because I'm like, I experienced them way more as a kid. But,
well, I go to kids' birthday parties and it's usually cupcakes or cake. Like, I think once. Three kids.
I wonder if it was like a time period thing or a part of the country thing or what.
Well, people hate ice cream here or something. I don't understand. Ice cream cake is so awesome.
Yeah.
I don't get how it's not like half. Ice cream cake should be half the cakes, in my opinion. And I think it really says something about our society that we've turned our backs on ice cream cakes.
Yeah. You know.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Ice cream cake or a cupcake. Like. And the cupcake.
Or ice cream cake cupcake. Huh?
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Yeah, Shark Tank there. I just came up with it. I've never seen one. Because I think cupcakes, it's like because you can grab and go. So that's very fun, right? But ice cream cake, cupcakes, there we go.
I'm gonna have to Google that and see if there's a recipe.
And if there's not, we definitely need to.
I'm trying to figure out where
now on this trademark on
where does the ice cream go in it? Is it in the bottom part or is it the muffin top part?
I think it'd be the top.
I guess that's not the muffin top, but
it'd be kind of like the top. It could be almost like a cone.
Yeah. Okay. Like a cake cone with a scoop of ice cream on the top, kind of. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
this is delicious. This or is like a very an ice hungry cream
sandwich that's like got that very thick base instead.
Oh,
it'd be kind of like,
now we're talking.
That, like,
did we just invent ice cream sandwiches? Is that what we did?
Ice cream cupcake sandwiches, yeah. But oh, that sounds good. I, man. So, okay, when you're talking about like pride and not wanting to buy certain things because it's like, you know, it's cheaper if you just do it yourself.
Yeah.
I was feeling that way a little bit too with like getting pre-made salads, but I didn't eat that healthy last week because it's like, I didn't have that time or energy to be making myself these salads, especially because my kid, she's not really interested in eating them. So then I'm just making two things and it's just like, yeah. Oh. But then I was just like, you know what? No, like, yes, in an ideal world or when I have more time, I'll be making more of my own salads, but I need to eat more vegetables and salad this week. So yeah, I just got a few for the week from Trader Joe's. And then every day for lunch, I've been eating a salad. We'll see how long this goes up.
This is a guilt. Yeah. I feel very guilty every time I buy a bag of salad. And I do this all the time because I go, oh, I could just chop up. I could take the prep time and do it. But God, it's so much easier.
Well, I mean,
so much easier.
I mean, when you're retired or something, right? Like when you have more free time and you're not juggling as much, because time is
money.
Well, I was going to say that. And then,
yeah. Time is money. Who's going to pay me to make a salad? Fresh salad. Come on. Yeah, no, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm wasting all this plastic and.
Yeah, I don't love the waste. Like there are definitely lots of convenience things that I'm like, oh, I feel bad that I'm wasting this. But then I still get it. Like the little applesauce pouch squeeze things for kids to have, or even the individual applesauce Mott's or not, whatever kind, it doesn't have to be Mott's, but the little like applesauce containers. And it's just like that. For two seconds, then this in the landfill for how long? What's going on?
I have convinced myself that the little bowl ones,
yeah,
that for some reason those are more environmentally friendly than the other packet. I don't know which one actually is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because I loathe applesauce squeezies and yogurt squeezies. Cause I'm like, it's just too easy to eat. Like they just chug it and they're like still hungry. And I'm like, well, yeah, cause you ate it in 3 seconds. Cause then I'm like,
chew a bit to trick yourself into feeling more full.
You do. I get the applesauce cups also because I'm like, okay, with a spoon, it's just going to take longer to eat.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll fill up before they are done. Or like at least feel like they don't need a whole nother one and maybe build some calories in there too.
Yeah,
build
some calories.
Make it some work. It's,
we need some iron spoons.
That's what
we need to do. Why? Okay, we are full of ideas. $1 million ideas here, like weighted silverware.
Yeah, 1 pound forks.
How has that not been a thing? You will be so swole, you'll be all looking like Popeye. That it was
burn really calories while
it
you
was
eat.
Like the fork he was using. It wasn't the spinach. It was like the 10-pound fork to get each spinach leaf into his mouth.
What's your secret to weight loss? Eating. Every time I eat, it's a workout. Okay. I like it. I like this.
Right?
Two products.
I don't even know how to go about inventing something like this because I'm telling you, there would be a market.
I
bought it as a gag gift. Like, there.
I think you have to like make a mold.
Yeah, that's the.
And have somebody do it. You know, I went. Here's something. This is not an invention, but this is going. Realize you have to go old school sometimes to make your life easier.
Yep.
My wife being sick, right? Texting can be challenging when you're like not feeling good.
Oh yeah. Right?
And just having to type, hey, I need you. And I don't want to have to be like right by the bed all the time. you know, so we got walkie talkies so that I could be outside and stuff. These are big range, like 500 feet. They actually go really far. Like I can walk to the bus stop and use the, I got a brand that's used at a, they say you can use them for events like at a stadium.
That's what I was imagining. Each other. That, yeah.
So we have six now. And I gave one to my daughter, my 9-year-old, so she could go down to a friend's house. And I said, okay, bring this so I can tell you when you need to come back.
Uh-huh.
And she let me know she got there.
Uh-huh.
And then when her friend was done playing, she called me. And I'm like, all right, come home. And so I didn't have to deal with letting the other parent know. But also, it just felt like, I don't know, like it felt nice just being able to, that there was something that I felt she needed to get a hold of me. She could, and it works well for my wife. Just press the button and use it.
That's awesome.
And then all of us can hear it, right? Because my wife had hers and my daughter has one and she's telling us that she's coming home. So my wife knew she's coming home too. So you don't have to relay all that info. And another excuse not to give my daughter a phone is like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You only need to get a hold of me, then you just need a walkie-talkie.
I also feel like this might be a smartphone of the future, like, because you know how retro things are like coming back and vintage things are coming back. Like, when are they going to make some sort of flip phone design that looks like a walkie-talkie?
And there's such a...
Kids will have it.
There is such a thing being built of people being against their kids having cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, the people are going to be looking, because I know a lot of parents who just bought their kid watches, smart watches, because they can set it up that you can only text your parent. Like you put it on that only, there's only certain people they could text. And so that way they can, one, you could track them on the GPS. And then also you could like, they can send a message to say, hey, practice was over early. Can you come get me? Without having to have a phone.
And they don't have to do all like, yeah, the social media stuff and all that in the palm of their hand.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I heard on the news the other day, you may already be familiar with this. I can't remember the girl's name, but there's some, she was like a freshman sorority girl in, I don't remember what college, not in Washington State, but she said that her life was ruined from a fake rumor. And then she was getting upwards of, I think it was like 1,000 messages a day of just people hating on her and just horrible people. People she didn't even know saying like, you need to die, you this, that, blah, blah. You know what the rumor was? The rumor was that she slept with her boyfriend's father.
Okay.
And then there was even somebody on ESPN or something like that she's taking to court for defamation or whatever. I was going to text it to you last night when I was watching it, and then I forgot, and now I can't remember what the person's name was. Hornet, college student who became the subject of viral rumor, says incident ruined her life. But here's the thing I'm wondering. If it were true, which they say it is not, but if it were true, why is everybody texting her and not the freaking father? That's the adult.
Right.
And the man. Right. And like, yeah. Why is everybody just beating up on this poor little freshman girl? And even if she did make that horrible decision, the father's the adult and that's his son. Like, there are so many layers of wrongness on this. And I was just totally like flabbergasted by this. And like, I mean,
what? It's misogyny.
Well, exactly. It does track for many of the issues that are in our country, you know, like it present day, like it does track for like, oh yeah, of course this is what would have happened.
Because even you said college freshman, right?
Yeah.
So even if it's legal, it's still, you had a son the same age.
Yeah.
That's just that creepy. Anytime it's like, well, it was legal. Like, you're like, that's not.
And also that they're like, how dare she? That's her boyfriend's father. And it's like, dude, that's his son's girlfriend. Like, you're yeah. supposed to watch out for your kids, not sleep with their significant others. Like, it's just wrong right. on so many levels.
Yeah. Even assuming it was consensual. It's just like, dude, we know you're at least 18 years older than her. Right?
Right. Most likely.
At least.
Yeah.
And that's just hard to stomach anywhere. Particularly at that age, because we all know how many people don't know that a brain isn't fully developed until you're 25, 26.
I didn't know that for the longest time. I think a lot of people, I mean, I know when you're a kid, it's not fully, but I didn't know, like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know at what age I realized this,
okay.
or learned this, but I don't think it's something that's common knowledge that
really? Okay.
people without children think about, you know.
Huh.
It's not developed until you're 25. I think a lot of people would think, oh, well, by the time you're a teenager, you're 21.
The decision-making thing, faculties are not really there until you're 26. That's when they're formed. Totally, your brain is finished developing. So bad decisions get made, and it's not, you know, you have to be responsible. Even as a teenager, you're responsible, but we just kind of need to understand that kids make mistakes, and they just don't have good judgment until.
And after you're 26, you got no excuse. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing. Cause I haven't thought of like anything in my past, you know, especially before I was 26, of not being so hard on myself. Oh, I wish I did this differently. Or I wish I, you know, it's like, oh, well, your brain wasn't fully formed yet. So cut yourself some slack. Okay.
Yeah. You really need some guidance still. You need guidance and some decisions from people because. And because everybody's different, right? So some might form a couple years early. Some might form a couple years later. So, you know. Yeah. Grace and community. Two things we're touching on today.
Mm-hmm.
In this very special edition.
Very special. It's our Hallmark edition.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out to this book, though. The Whole Brain Child. So good.
Is that the book you recommended?
Or is it a different one? I think the one that you guys currently have, that one is a different one that's much longer. Whole Brain Child is like, I think only like 200 pages or something. I think it's a neuroscientist who wrote it. I need to give better details on this, but basically it does talk about like the developing brain and certain things that you can do to help your child so that they can integrate their brain. Talks about like flipping the lid. I did just read something about the developmental, like 26 or 25, 26, like you said. So that was fresh in my mind. So it's interesting that you brought that up today. But I think it's just useful for anybody to read, even if they're not a parent, to get more understanding on how our brains work in a pretty fun, interesting way.
It's most people don't study milestones of. Like, even when having kids, people are not studying the milestones that they should. I know this as a coach.
Oh, wait, now you're back.
You're back.
I don't know I don't know whose computer it was, but it froze after most people don't study milestones. Dramatic pause. And then I realized we were frozen.
Dramatic pause. Like as a coach, as a soccer coach, like I had a game this last weekend and the other coach was just really annoying with the way we call it joysticking the players, telling them where to go the whole time. And what made me mad was she said something to me about like when she started telling my players what to do about something, I was like, oh no, you can let them do that. She's like, well, you're going to have to coach them at some point. And I was like, yo, because I wanted to say, well, what you're doing is not actually coaching. Coaching is letting them is helping them, but not telling them what to do every second. You let them make the discoveries. And they won, and by a lot, but like, it was because she was telling, yeah, I could have had a better score if I got on the field and told them everything. Because if I was basically, I'm playing against her, except telling them all what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they learn nothing. Like, she's having them do things that are like far past developmentally what they, and I'm like, they're never going to do that when you're not talking to them. Because developmentally, they just are not there yet. That's far too advanced, right? So it's very, and coaches, this, all this info is out there, especially for coaches. And I just feel like they could go out and learn this, but they don't want to. And it would be so much more helpful for kids if people working at age groups understood what's expected at that age group.
Yeah.
Definitely for soccer, but definitely in life in general. When do you expect your child to start sharing with other kids? When do you, like, and that's what's funny. You wouldn't do that in real life, right? You wouldn't start directing them to do things that are well beyond their years. At 7 year olds, you're not going to have them take them outside and start working on your car. They go, okay, take it over there. Oh, we're going to change. Come on, you got to change the tire. Change the tire. Go get the lug nuts. Come on. But then sports, we suddenly do it like as if they're suddenly, everyone's advanced. It's nuts. Do you think, like, children's theater, how did you do much children's theater? Whether working with them or as a child?
Yeah. I did, I think probably, how young are you recalling as a child, or if we participated?
Let's say as young as kindergarten.
I mean, I did maybe just like one or two. Most of the stuff I did would have been after I was in like middle school. So not very many when I was very young. I was going to say professionally. I just mean like more was like on my own with my friends, and then a couple were through school. Right. And then as a teacher, I've done several. So I guess quite a bit.
We expect them to be somewhat bad, right? Early on. Like, you're not going to choreograph to a level of Chicago off Broadway.
Right.
You're not going to, you end up casting just the oldest, the loudest kid, because you're not going to work on projection this week, the week you have. So we often know to have different standards of kids, right, for different developmental levels.
Yeah.
And I mean, in general, I think we do have a lot of expectations on kids. Going into what you said earlier about social media, right? Like, we can't expect them to be responsible for it when they aren't fully developed.
And make bad decisions. A lot of adults aren't fully responsible with it.
Right.
I think the sort of question of what does it really, because I feel like social media is still so new that it's like, in the grand scheme of things, right? That it's like, okay, what is the best, like, what are the best guidelines? Obviously, we know certain things are like, avoid that like the plague, but I think there's a lot of gray area. And yeah, you don't want your kid to be the guinea pig and fall prey to lots of the traps on there.
You're a long way from having to decide on cell phones, but
ooh-wee.
It's, I tell you, it's a conversation that is, I have a lot now with other parents about what they're going to be doing.
I'm super grateful to have some close friends with kids that are older than mine so that I can ask you guys.
Yeah. To see what happened. How did you do it? What did
Cause part of me is really hoping that there will be no social media by the time that she's old enough to act on it, but not by a catastrophe, just by people realizing like, hey, nah, or kids being like, this isn't cool anymore. That's what our parents did. Even though our kids will think we're super cool. But you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's hard to imagine. How do you train a whole new generation, like how to talk to people in person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. So many delightful things to think about.
I do think it does start at home. Besides the walkie-talkie thing, you know, like I love video games, right? But I just kind of kick the kids out of the house a lot to go play, because I know that it's not good.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, yeah.
You know, and I'm okay with them being bored, and I am trying to bring back some old, I don't know if they're old fashioned values, mm-hmm. but the boredom is so valuable.
It's so important.
So many kids do not get bored, and it's so harmful mm-hmm. to them. I want to say the best thing you could do is let your kids be bored.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's why it's like I wish I had a yard, but you know,
yeah,
it can still just because it would be easier to be like, let's go out in the yard and like play with some dirt or something, just that sort of slow
kick them out into the dirt, yeah, into the yard. Well, you know, there's millions of city people who are just. I think it's a little harder in the Northwest because you know there are yards. Mm-hmm. Where if you're in New York City, you don't even worry about it because you're like, there's right. no yards.
Yeah.
And if there is, something pooped on it.
I mean, yeah. Well, that's true everywhere. Something always pooped on something, you know?
Yeah.
Gross.
But in New York, if there's dirt, it's been pooped on.
Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. there's not enough. I'm allergic to pets, right? Generally, mm-hmm. like dogs, except I'm not allergic to poodles.
I'm sure you didn't say poop because I was like, no. That is a pet.
Poodles. Okay. And yeah, so poodles, then those mixes, like the labradoodles and stuff.
Uh huh.
So I do not, the only reason I don't have a dog is because of the poop.
I mean, I
just don't want to. I'm like, I had three kids.
Yeah, you don't want to pick up the poop.
I'm done with that. I did that. I did my time on Maple Drive.
I will 100% get a cat in the future and clean up its poop from its kitty litter. I will do that in the future. I just don't know when. Probably a couple of years. Because it's gross, but it's not as gross to me. And I love cats so much that it's worth it.
Yeah, you know,
I don't have to interrupt my day to go take it on a walk. Like, it can just do its business and not interrupt me. And then they have some of those really expensive, like, kitty litter things where it kind of does it for you.
Like, oh, no, those are wonderful.
Yeah, I will do that. I will wait until I have enough money to very easily get one of those without blinking, you know.
If I had a hairless cat, I would get one of those.
But you know, I know people who have been allergic, but then they find the cat that actually, for whatever reason, it's right for them and they're not allergic to it. Believe it or not.
Yeah, that does happen. And
it doesn't have to be hairless.
And you can adjust. I do think you do get used to it.
But do you actually want a hairless cat, or was it more just because
the allergies?
Yeah. Because I know people love hairless cats, and bless their souls and bless the hairless cats, but no thank you.
There's three people in our household who probably are allergic, so it feels like it'd be hard to find a compatible for all three. I'm just working odds here.
I have two family members that are quite allergic to cats, and my sister has a cat, and they're okay with that cat. When I had a cat, I honestly can't remember. I think they were a little bit allergic, but they weren't around it very much. So I don't think it really. Yeah, I miss that fat, giant orange cat. Oh, always miss that cat. It was such a great cat.
First, I thought you were mentioning bringing up Trump when you said that.
But then you heard that I said love.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I said love and miss. And I meant miss with good feelings, not other things that I don't do. But
Donald Trump would never sign up for a meal train. I'll tell you that.
I don't know. Actually, I would never say never. You know, I
mean, he would sign up for it to be delivered to him, but not to give it.
I mean, maybe. I think so, maybe. But I think that the intentions would be for self-grandizing, or like, you know, I think the intention would be different. But I think if you get the right the person he would do it for, potentially, and then he could sign up by just having J.D. Vance go deliver it or something. I don't know. He could have his ways.
Oh, Samantha, we're about out of time here. I as hard as the week has been, this show, I was very much looking forward to this show to record and get to spend some quality time with you, some one-on-one time. That's the meal that I needed.
Aww.
A little black and a half.
Black and a half. Well, I'm glad I could participate in that way. Yeah.
No soup.
No. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I actually said to my daughter the other day, no soup for you. And I thought, oh, my goodness. There's nobody else here to get this reference. What happened was she wanted soup and we didn't have soup. But then she also asked for apple juice, rather. And I had the idea. I was like, okay, well, we don't have soup right now. Because I don't often have soup just endlessly in stock. I should probably I should get some, like, anyway. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to, like, make a really fun idea. I will peel and chop up her apple. And then I will put it in a bowl and pour a little apple juice in it. And I'll give her a fun spoon so it's not, like, the same spoon. It wasn't a weighted spoon, though. Haven't created those yet. Let me just give this to her and that'll be really fun. And she was delighted until she wasn't. And then she, like, threw it and it went everywhere. And that was disappointing. And then she asked for more soup. And I said, no soup for you. So... and then I heard what I said and I was like, and I have to remember this, and I don't think I wrote it down, but now
that is the worst part of being around children is them not getting your killer jokes that you just made. Like, I just made a reference. No adult.